And good evening. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to this special edition of Get Real with Rick Dancer. I normally don't do a show on Monday night, but I'm frustrated. I'm seeing online that a lot of you are frustrated. I can tell you why. I don't know why this hits me so hard, but most of us work really hard to keep a good credit rating. We're taught as children to manage our credit, pay our bills on time, because if you don't, your credit will go bad. And we get a break because our credit is good. We get better interest rates. We get all kinds of things because our credit is good. And now the president has a rule that says something to the effect of, if I have a credit rating of 740 or more, I have to pay 1% on that. And somebody, a realtor friend of mine came on and said, well, Rick, that's only $50 a month. But if you have a $400,000 home, that's over a 30-year loan, that's $14,000. And why do I have to pay it? So I'm more equitable. So it's more equal to what people with bad credit have to pay. And they're gonna get a 1.75 reduction, a break, for having bad credit. It doesn't make sense to me. And so tonight we're going to talk to a mortgage lender and figure it out. Well, of course, it's our client. I have clients in all realms of business. So I'm going to pull something up for you. So this is our friend, Greg Hinkle, is going to be joining us in just a second from Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation here in Helena, Montana. Also, though, from Oregon, has been in Washington. So he understands how this stuff works. And I've been talking about this online and people have been arguing with me. But most of the mortgage people that I know who are friends and people online are saying, this is not a good move. I think, and we'll talk with Greg about this, the bigger picture is what I really want to look at. So our show is sponsored by Fairway Independent Mortgage and also Chris Dental Family Dentistry, Dr. Michael Bratlin, where everyone is welcome. And Alvard Taylor, Endless Possibilities, folks who work with people in our community who have disabilities and different abilities, and they're always looking for employees. We'll hear from them during this show. And again, this is a special broadcast tonight. We are always on Mondays. If you have any questions, please ask them. We'd love to hear from you. And I 100% agree. We are ass backwards as a country. Here we go. Now you're talking. Brian says, those behind the curtain are pushing their agenda to make a cashless and socialist society. It is every day, if there was a word called stupider, we would be that here in America. It gets stupider and stupider every day. And joining me now is Greg Hinkle. Hey, Greg, how you doing? Your mic is off. Yeah, you have to click it on your computer. It's probably on your computer where it went off. I was hearing you before, so your mic is, it's on your computer where it's turned off. Can you go into your actual computer and turn your mic on? Oh, it's on your phone? Try unplugging it. Yeah, there you go.
How's that? Does that work a little better for you?
Now you're there. Thank you, man.
How about that? How the heck are you?
You know, technology is great when it works, and when it doesn't, it just sucks like anything.
Well, if you ask my assistant, she'll tell you I am a technological menace.
So Greg, talk to me about what does this, first of all, this is about equity, but it doesn't seem very equal when you're telling people that strive to have good credit, that they're going to get penalized. And I've had people online, some of my more liberal friends, saying this isn't a penalty. It is. When I have to pay 1% more, that feels like a penalty to me. And I'm not against anybody who has bad credit, but it's like, You know, perhaps we should be, instead of doing things like this, is maybe teaching kids in high school how to pay your bills on time, and educating people about the importance of not taking out too much of a loan. I don't know, but it's like, I just feel like this is absolutely insane. Go ahead.
Well, I think number one, you just hit the nail on the head. And that is, how do I tactfully say this? Generally, the view across the mortgage industry is this is absolutely insane. And it is an education thing. Look, here's the thing. These LLPAs or loan level price adjustments, they've always been in the marketplace to some extent. You go back to pre-2007, we had pricing add-ons or loan level price adjustments for things like a non-owner occupied rental property, because it was a higher risk. If you got into financial trouble, you'd walk away from your rentals before you'd walk away from your owner occupied. We knew that cash out refinances had a higher default rate than a rate and term. So there was always, but most of these were always attached to occupancy or usage. We've never seen loan level price adjustments on purchases. If you had a 620 score or above, you were qualified for Fannie Mae. Then in 2008, after the crash of the market and the Dodd-Frank bill, we started seeing these loan level price adjustments coming into play based on credit score. And the problem is our credit scoring system is completely inequitable to start with.
Okay. How so?
Well, the biggest issue is there's about, it's 86 algorithms that the three major repositories use to calculate credit score. And then the credit reporting company that you buy your credit reports from, they choose the algorithms that they're going to use. But of those 86, there are, I want to say it's 12 that are allocated for mortgage, and there's a bunch that are allocated for credit card consumer, and there are some that are allocated for insurance, and some that are allocated for the car industry. So the problem is, you can look at Credit Karma. They use VantageScore 3.0. That's a consumer risk model. You're going to see your scores. And you come to me and get your credit report pulled. We're going to pull a tri-merge from all three repositories. I'm going to give you a set of scores that don't match your Credit Karma. But if you go up the street to Wells Fargo, they're going to pull your credit report, and you're going to get three different scores. And it's because we've got no consistency under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you'd think we would, but we've got no consistency in how the credit scores are calculated to start with.
Yeah. So Greg, do this for me. Somebody's asking, and you had mentioned this early. Somebody says this is creating the same scenario that happened in the 80s and 90s with the mortgage crisis.
Not 80s and 90s, but 2000s, when we started seeing some the deregulation on credit standards. And now what we're seeing is we're seeing deregulation on credit standards for low to moderate income buyers. Which is really concerning to me.
How could you see this play out?
So when we look at, I see it playing out that we are actually going to end up doing loans for people that we probably should not be doing loans for, and in risk levels that are not, that we haven't mitigated the risk properly.
Isn't that what happened in 2008?
It's partly what happened in 2008. Yes, that's exactly a good chunk of what happened in 2008 with the deregulation of that led into the subprime, particularly the subprime culture. I'm all for low to moderate income buyer programs. Okay, I do a lot of them. We do down payment assistance programs for buyers that don't have down payment. But again, are you mitigating the risk, or are you setting somebody up for failure?
Right. Eric Johnson on here says people who can't afford payments will get mortgages. And that's not fair. What that's not equitable to them. It's not
fair.
Well,
here's my bigger issue, Rick. When we're going to talk about equitable, this is being spun as an opportunity to create more opportunities for home ownership. For low to moderate income buyers, and particularly buyers of color. And I think there's two things that really make me nervous. I think it adversely affects that exact demographic,
right?
Because we're setting them up for failure. And then it penalizes people in that demographic that have worked really hard to maintain their credit and worked really hard to save up a down payment and have scrimped and scratched and fought to be able to buy a home and achieve the American dream, not the American entitlement, but the American dream of home ownership. And they earned it.
What's the difference? I'd like you to explain the difference for people. I'm sure some know, but I think there's a bunch of people that obviously don't, including our president.
We went through a time, and I get nervous anytime a politician says, "Look what I did for you." Okay, right. It makes me nervous. We go back to the Bush administration. They opened up the Home Ownership of America program. That was expanded under the Clinton administration. It was again expanded under the Bush administration. So we kept outdoing each other. And that's what kind of really forced that deregulation of how we did mortgages. And we put a lot of people into homes. And everybody was to blame. I'm sorry, but everybody was to blame. Bankers were to blame. Mortgage loan officers were to blame. Realtors were to blame. The borrowers were to blame. They knew they were buying houses they couldn't afford. So the blame was to go around. But what we did is we opened up the floodgates on loans that really risk was not mitigated. And so when we look at today, when we look at a loan, we look at the four C's, and that's credit, capacity, collateral, and consistency. Your credit's going to show me your willingness to pay. Your capacity, that's your income. Do you have the ability to pay it?
Right.
The collateral, what are we securing that loan with? Is it a car? Is it a house? Is it a boat? And then does it all make sense? Does it make sense that somebody working at McDonald's part-time at minimum wage is trying to buy a $500,000 house? Well, no, it doesn't.
So, right? Okay, so I'm going to hold on that thought. I got to run an ad here for us. I want to come back to this. So just hang on just a second, Greg.
One of the biggest things for people that I have supported, one of their complaints has always been, why do they talk to me like I'm a baby? Why can't they talk to me like they're talking to you? And they're absolutely right. They're very smart. The people we support are very intelligent. And so when you talk to them as if you're talking to a small child, it's offensive. And so, yeah, I think educational videos, bringing that here to show everybody would help. They know that they're not perfect. They know that they're special. That's what some of them say to me, at least, that they know they're special because they don't really like to refer to themselves as having disabilities. They like to say they're special. And so they know this, they're aware of that. They don't want the community to throw that back at them because it's perceived negatively when that happens. So having that education to understand that they're just like you and I.
I really don't care what people think. And so there's consequences. And maybe one day I'll say something that gets my license taken away or something because I've been anti-masked, anti-COVID vaccinations. But I want real science. And I look at data, and I looked at data from the get-go on stuff. The worst thing they could ever do is just take away my license, and so be it. I'll do something else. I don't care. I'm not going to let people control my thought. And as a doctor, we should all sit there and question things. We should be allowed to question things. And sometimes I might be wrong, but I should have the ability to question things and verbalize that.
And again, we're talking with Greg Hinkle, one of our sponsors at Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. And Greg is a lender here in Helena, Montana, but he can also handle you Oregonians and Washingtonians as well. So Terrell brings up an interesting fact, and this is kind of people love to call me a conspiracy theorist, but you know what? It's so funny. Today I was listening to a podcast, Greg, it was so great. And the guy's going, when somebody comes online and calls you a name or says something, so what? Like, They're not going to show up at your funeral.
What I find interesting, is, I'm trying to remember the comedian I was watching the other night. He goes, "You know what happens when you get offended? Nothing."
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
Terrell says you got offended.
Terrell says this scenario feels like the governor or the government is trying to get more people to rely on them than, because it never seems like the government wants to teach us anything. Like during COVID, instead of teaching us how to be healthier, how to lose weight, all the things we knew could really do something about it, they just wanted us to be, you know, sucking off of them. And then Eric Johnson says on here, why pay your bills on time if you're going to get punished for it? Where do these ideas come from? Is the federal government trolling us? I mean, it is unbelievable. I think this has really hit a nerve with a lot of people.
Okay, and I think it should, because I'm actually going to throw this back to our education system. And this may shock you a little bit, but I graduated high school from Roseburg High in 1986. I had to take personal finance.
Yep, we learned I did too.
We learned how to budget. We learned how to balance a checkbook. We learned how credit works. We learned we learned about this stuff. I was either the last year or the next to last year that personal finance was taught in Roseburg Public Schools.
Well, Greg, this all makes sense. And now look at the student loan thing. Look at all these students that took out loans, college loans, and had no idea, apparently, that you had to pay them back or what the interest was going to be. I knew when I took out my loans when I went to college because I took personal finance. I'm always surprised, too, how many kids don't know, young people don't know how to do a checkbook or like getting receipts when you go to the store or something. Kathy and I keep all of our receipts to know where things go and what they're doing and what we're spending. And it seems like most of the time you have to ask for a receipt anymore because people don't even pay attention to that.
I'm married to an accountant.
Oh, well, there you go.
You've met Julie.
Yeah.
Receipts are mandatory.
Well, Eric says on here, I had to take critical thinking in junior college. I had to take that in high school too. It was the best class I ever took. So what is this exactly? So that's what I know. Is this a rule?
Okay.
I think
Dave Stevens probably addressed this. I was just reading an article where he was interviewed. Dave Stevens was a FHA commissioner, and then he was the head of Mortgage Bankers Association for a number of years. He addresses this that, you know, okay, yeah, on $400,000 at 6%, it makes about a $40 a month difference. But that's $14,600 over the life of that loan. But more importantly is, here's the problem. If you've got a 740 score and you pay that 1% fee up front, that's a $4,000 cash hit into your closing costs. So it's a cost in fee, not a cost to. It's not well, rates were 6, but you've got a credit score of 740, so you're paying 7%.
Right.
It's a cost of fee, so it's gonna be a 1% of your loan amount.
So it doesn't affect your interest rate then.
Well, it can affect your rate because here's the thing, if you think about rates like golf, if you have par rates, that's zero, right? If you want a lower rate, you're gonna pay the lender to get. You're going to pay the lender to get the lower rate.
Oh, I'm with you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you're paying points, right? If you want the lender to pay your closing costs for you, you can take a higher rate, and the lender gets a credit back from the secondary market, and that is mandatorily contributed to your closing costs. Okay, so you can go above par, and the lender gets a credit they have to give back to you, or you go below par, and you pay to get the better rate, okay? So what happens is if we're going to say 6% is going to be our base rate, well, now for somebody as of May 1, for somebody who has a 740 score, that 6% is going to cost 1% discount point.
Okay.
Or $4,000 on a $400,000 loan. Okay.
Okay.
If they want the lender to pay it, it means they're going to be paying about 6.25% in rate, maybe 6.375%, depending on the market for the day. So,
yep. And what does that do to the person who's now being equitable, we're being equitable to the 1.75? How does that work?
So, okay. And there's a little bit of a misnomer going on here in the media. So let's clear that up. Right now, somebody with a 620 score is taking about a 2.75 hit. They're going to get a 1.75 hit. So they're going to be paying, oh, wait, 1 point to get that same 6% rate. So the reality of it is somebody with better credit is still going to be getting a better value for their because of their credit than somebody with bad credit. But the gap is being closed. And here's the problem with the way it's being done. The gap is being closed by, and I think, again, this is going to be, in my opinion, this is a follow the money trail. The gap is being closed by low to moderate income, poor credit borrowers getting better rates that are being subsidized by good credit, higher rates. So if you think about this for a second, there are more people in the good credit, really high credit score category that are buying homes than people in the low credit, because the low credit are like, I don't know if I can buy a home, right? Whereas somebody with a 740 credit score, they know my credit is good.
Right.
Okay. So here's the thing. If that's the case, and we're going to take the money from these transactions to bolster these, we're taking more from this bucket than we were before,
right,
to fill this bucket. And we're taking more from this bucket than we're actually giving up in this bucket. And so I think truthfully, if I'm going to, it's not just a case of rob Peter to pay Paul. I think Dave Stevens said this is just flat out unprecedented poor math. And
well, it doesn't seem like the Biden administration knows how to add anything.
Look, this is a blatant and significant cut in fees to the highest risk credit risk. And it is an increase in fee to quality credit buyers. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. The only thing that's equitable about it is that every lender in the country has to deal with this.
What is the potential danger of this? One would be, I'm thinking, you have people who can't afford homes and you're being really unequitable and very unkind by putting them in a home that they can't afford and they go bankrupt.
So here's my spin on that. Since the late 90s, what, 25 years, I guess now, I have had a career of managing hundreds of thousands of dollars of somebody else's money. And I take that very, very seriously. While I am all about putting people in houses, and there is nothing that gets me more excited than putting a family in a house. Our motto is we create generational wealth for families through the financing of real estate. I know that I'm creating stable communities when I put a family in their first house and their kids grow up in a home that mom and dad owned. And those kids, I'm doing loans now for kids that I did their parents' first house.
Right.
Okay. So that's generational wealth.
Right.
My biggest concern is twofold. We've got an inventory problem right now. Right now, nationwide, we've got about 1.5 months of inventory available on the market. Here in Helena, we're about 40% of what we should be. If you look into the Seattle-Tacoma-Olympia area, it's about 45%. The Eugene area is a little bit better, but not much. Bend, good luck finding a house right now. So we've got an inventory problem.
Right.
Which, by basic economics, supply, when we've got that kind of an imbalance between supply and demand, it will drive prices on the higher side.
Right.
We have more demand than we have supply, right? So now, are we putting the demographic that we are supposed to be helping into failure?
Right.
Because here's the bigger problem. While we create generational wealth for families through the financing of real estate by having kids grow up in a home that mom and dad worked hard to earn and own, the exact opposite is true when we put families into failure into positions where they can fail, and the house is foreclosed on, we've now created generational poverty because it was the big bad bank that took my house away. And the kids have learned that if you borrow money from the bank, your house gets taken away. Not, I lost my job and I couldn't pay it back, or I overstretched my budget so much that we could barely live. It's the, we've taught them and now a generation of poverty. And that really concerns me because this is America. We're not the land of poverty. We're the land of opportunity.
So what is this already taken effect? I mean, like if people are going in this week for mortgage loans, when does it take effect or how does that work?
That, yeah, that's a special little treat on this one. Normally we get a price change like this. It is effective with loans locked after such and such a date. As I understand it right now, it's loans delivered after May 1. So I'm right now in the process of, I mean, the fact that I'm still sitting in my office this evening is an indication that I'm working on pre-approvals that I've got to readjust pricing for and make sure that they still qualify because of the fact that this is going to have a significant impact on either their cash to close or their monthly payment. And we got to make sure that everything still stays in line.
All right. Did I ask you everything I need to ask you? I don't see any other questions.
I mean, I think so. And look, if you didn't and your folks have got questions, you can find me at hinklelendingteam.com. As you mentioned, I service Oregon, Washington, and Montana. I live here in Helena. I bounce back and forth. I got family in Olympia and family in Roseburg. And so, I'm all over the Pacific Northwest I'm more than happy to answer questions. And that's what we're here. Look, what I care about at the end of the day is, that potential homeowners have got straight answers, have got good information, are going to the closing table, whether they're closing with me as a lender or whether they're closing with somebody else, that they're going to the closing table prepared, fully informed, knowing what they're walking into in the process of buying a house. It's the biggest investment they're going to make. And it should be a good experience. It should be an exciting experience. It should not be a case if you get to the closing table and, oh man, my lender didn't tell me about this, or my real estate agent didn't tell me about that, or
yeah,
I can't afford, you know, we shouldn't have surprises like that.
Well, Greg, thank you for doing this on the spur of the moment. I just thought, oh my gosh, he helps sponsor our show every month. I might as well call him and find out what's going on and see if he can do this. And I was surprised that you could, but I'm really happy because I think that clears up. I mean, it doesn't make me any happier, but I think it clears up a lot of stuff for people.
Well, and it doesn't make me happy. I am concerned that it's just, there was another thing I saw that was just, this is just a different, it's a real estate tax on the middle class is really what it comes down to. And I thought that was a pretty good analogy.
My biggest thought is, because I don't have a fear about this stuff, but my biggest thought is that you are teaching people now, the big picture is you're trying to make them reliant on government. So you're making them, you're teaching them not to be responsible. And then you're telling those of us who try to be responsible that it doesn't matter. So what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. And this is not how the system should work, because it doesn't encourage anyone to do better. It encourages to dumb down everybody and make it so. Because why should I care about my credit score anymore now? You know, I mean, I will and I do, but it's like I think this is just how America seems to be going. It's like dumbing everything down and making us more dependent on the government. And I will not comply.
I can't give you the A in this class that you earned because, well, the other students in the class didn't earn one.
Yeah, yeah. Terrell says that the thing is capitalism is bad, communism 101. That's where we're going to. And somebody had asked also, Beth asked, how can he make laws? Beth, presidents make laws from Trump to Biden, to Obama. Our system is so screwed up, they just go all the way around it. And she said—
Well, and this is, by the way, this is the fun one. This is not making of a law. Let's be really clear on that.
Right. It's a rule.
This is not making of a law. This is, quite frankly, the Biden administration forcing its will on the FHFA, which is the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which oversees the GSEs, that's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to impose this.
Right.
So it's not a law. It's a rule that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are being forced to impose.
Right. Greg, get to your grandson's game. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, you take care. We'll talk with you soon, Rick.
All right. See you later. Eric, I agree with you. Executive orders should be outlawed. Haven't we seen all the presidents? The last few have been just ridiculous about using them to get around Congress and what they're supposed to do. So rubber hits the road. Here you go. So what do you do? Well, I'm going to go back to this old thing. How you vote matters. And if you want to be in a new world order, then just keep voting how you're going to vote. Because tomorrow, I understand that our president is expected to announce that he's going to run again. And so if this is the kind of thing you like, go for it. If you don't, then you better make a choice and do something different, because this is not working for a lot of people. And it's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So who do you vote for? I don't know. I would never tell you who to vote for, but I know who I'm not voting for. Because this kind of stuff is just going to damage everything. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. So I want to thank Greg for coming on here, Fairway Independent Mortgage. So, like he said, go to his website. If you have any other questions, ask him. And maybe you can't get a hold of your mortgage lender. Get a hold of Greg. You can ask him some questions and he can help you kind of calm yourself. Because if I was in the middle of or at the end of buying a house and just about to sign and you're going to close on April 31st or the 1st of May, I'd be screaming right now. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about timber. Douglas Timber Operators, one of our sponsors, coming on. They did a series on wildfires, and we've got some experts coming on, and we're going to talk about what we can do this year, to prevent more wildfires. And then on Wednesday, I've got the sheriff of Broadwater County. That's where I live. He's going to come on, and they're putting on a suicide prevention program, because suicide is a problem with young people all over the country. Yes, here in Montana as well. In fact, I think we're pretty high on those stakes. So he's putting on a seminar for people on Thursday. So we're going to do something on Wednesday to promote that and let people know more about it. And then on Thursday, Brian McSkimmons, our weather guy, will be here, because we got some warm weather coming up in Montana. And I think you guys have some on your coast as well. And Bill London will be here with more. And we might find something else to put in that show as well. Yeah, Brian Birch, my stomach churns every time I listen to that guy talk as well. So anyway, lots of stuff going on. We had to do this tonight just because I didn't want it to wait, because I knew you guys wanted to know, and I certainly wanted to know. Share this on your page with others so they know and are informed about what's going on as well, okay? Hey, bottom line is, okay, so can I tell you a couple of things I learned today? It was kind of fun. I was listening to a podcast, and the guy said, you know, when people criticize you, it's just remember that they're probably not going to show up at your funeral anyway. And he also said that champions are broken. And I think that's really true. Like a horse, you have to break it. You push it to its limit. And so each of us needs to be pushed to our limit to find out who we really are. We don't like that, and it's hard, but I think it's really part of who we really are. And one other one, so many people want to protect the idea about how you should live. They want to tell you how you should live. And why does that matter to you? And it's just, all this stuff was kind of speaking to me. And I said, one more thing. You know, they said, you need to be original. Don't do what other people do. Do it like you do it. And that really strikes home for me. This is how I do my life. This is how I do my show. People don't like it, don't come here. If you do and you learn something, great. But otherwise, I'm not here to please anybody but my God, actually. And sometimes he probably doesn't get it either. But yeah, you get all kinds of stuff when you do this. But I got to be who I am. And enough of you like that, and enough sponsors pay for that and are willing to pay me to do this. So I appreciate that. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow night on an official show. Again, share this on your page. All right. We'll see you later. Good night.